My name is Yemi Akande-Barch, and I'm the President and CEO of Focus St. Louis, and it really gives me great pleasure to be here this evening to present to you what our proposal is for carrying the work of the core intermediary forward. You know, I have to say the last time I took off my wristwatch when I was doing a presentation was when I was defending my dissertation, and I have to say this feels like a defense. In fact, I have my Ferguson Bible right there in the front row. But joining me this evening is Michelle Miller, a director of one of our Coral Fellows program in leadership, Amelia Bond, president and CEO of the St. Louis Community Foundation, and Christine Wagner, assistant professor at UMSL and a member of the Applied Research Collaborative, and Dr. Mark Trunnell, who would be answering questions later on. Again, we want to thank the members of the commission for giving us an opportunity to present our qualifications and our approach to serve as the core intermediary. So tonight, we will review the following. But I'd really like to start out by saying that tonight, we really have a story to tell to the nation. And in reviewing what we'll be going over tonight, we'll be taking a look at what does success look like as we dive into this work. More importantly, what is and isn't the role of the core intermediary? What does our proposed organizational structure look like? What is our proposed budget? How will we measure success? And who are our partners? And what is Focus's expertise, especially as it pertains to this work? And we'll walk you through two examples of our approach to two specific call to action. And ultimately, at the end of the evening, we hope we'll ultimately be able to answer the question of why Focus. So with that in mind, as we dove into this work, we certainly began by approaching this with the end in mind. And the question that we asked ourselves was, when you look into the future of St. Louis, what do you want to see? How does the community look, act, respond, and thrive? And so we came up with a vision of what our community could be, because we know that who we are today really is not who we can become in the future. And to that end, we outlined what success looks like. It includes a community that embraces racial equity and works to engage all members of the community equally. It includes a community relationship with law enforcement in which trust and mutual respect are evident. It includes a community where we can describe our region as one where employment and educational opportunities are readily available and accessible to all. It also includes a community where diverse leaders are empowered to lead at all levels in our neighborhood, our organizations, and our institutions. And at the end of the day, we can say that we are meeting the basic needs of our youth to ensure the opportunity of a vibrant future and ability to thrive. But let's not forget that the baseline, the bottom line, should be a community that invites innovation, entrepreneurism, and growth. So how will we achieve this vision? We believe that the Ford Ferguson report has certainly created a roadmap that is continued by the work of the core intermediary. And we see ourselves as a convener that assembles the community around a shared vision. And this evening, we're certainly asking the community for the privilege to serve as that entity, to be a steward and a convener of change. And more importantly, we want to incubate what is new, what is innovative, as it pertains to the work of social change that has been set forth by members of the commission. And we are referring to this project, this work, as an initiative, because we're using the term initiative as a placeholder. We want the community to be involved in the actual naming of this effort. So all throughout our presentation tonight, you'll be hearing us refer to the work of the core intermediary moving forward as that of an initiative. So to that end, how do we see our role? As the core intermediary, we perceive ourselves as providing a home base that includes staffing and financing for people and organizations working towards achieving the report's signature priorities and calls to action. And this role includes such things as providing oversight of action plans and progress, pushing for timely and successful action, providing support, which includes supporting meeting space, administrative coordination, public information sharing, communications, and leadership. Our role also includes holding a steering committees and action teams accountable for progress and achievement of the signature priorities and calls to action. And we'll dive into what the structure of this looks like and what are we calling steering committees and what are we calling action teams. Equally important for you to know this evening is the role of the core intermediary and what it is not. And when we look at the role, the core intermediary, we certainly agree, is something that is owned by the people. It was certainly created with the people, and so therefore it is not something that focus as core intermediary perceives themselves as owning. We certainly agree that we'll be seeking the help and the dedication of all the community members to achieve these calls to action, and we'll be going into more in depth in terms of community organizations that have stepped up to partner with us as we proceed in this venture. Focus certainly won't determine the direct methods through which the calls to action are achieved. Again, we will serve as convener, the incubator of progress for community voices to be heard and included in the calls to action. We will ensure that all community members who wish to engage are invited to act towards the progress of our work moving forward. And now I'm going to ask Michelle Miller to step up and talk to you a little bit about what the proposed structure is.
Thank you, Amy, and good evening, everybody. So I have my generation edition of the watch up here as well. A little bit about the proposed structure. So as core intermediary, Focus knows that we need to invest our resources, people, and vision into the success of achieving the calls to action. And we truly see our primary purpose as convening the right people in the right ways at the right time to achieve change. So I want to walk you through the model that we've proposed here. In blue in the middle, you'll see 4 new staff who will be contracted. Of the 10 existing staff at Focus St. Louis, 3 highlighted in green will have core intermediary duties. These include myself, Julie Lawson, who's the Vice President of Programs, and Yamie, who will serve as the primary point of contact until new staff would be hired. As a public accountability measure, a leadership advisory council, you'll see highlighted in yellow, will be appointed. It will include up to 15 community members with mandatory seats reserved for a certain number of current commissioners, should you choose to continue in that role, as well as leaders from the grassroots, business, philanthropy, and faith communities. In the upper right, you'll see 2 collaborating organizations highlighted in purple. The first is the St. Louis Community Foundation, who will be establishing and managing a fund for this work. Expenses of the initiative will require approval of both the Leadership Advisory Council and the Community Foundation to ensure fiscal accountability in the financial management of this work. In addition to the Community Foundation, you'll see the Applied Research Collaborative, or ARC, and they have joined the initiative as well. They will establish a baseline from which we'll determine the order of action and measure success. Finally, at the bottom, also in purple, you'll see communications consultants that will support the effort by really helping maintain the remarkable community engagement threshold that the commission has set, supporting transparent public reporting of progress and promoting opportunities to learn and volunteer. We also know that they will manage regional campaigns supporting racial equity. Taking a little bit of a deeper dive into the initiative, you'll see that the initiative director will be contracted to serve as a point of contact and direct activities. Again, these new staff positions are in blue. 3 additional staff will be contracted: a resource development manager with responsibilities for fundraising and coordination of community resources, a program manager to staff the steering committees and action teams, and as well as to support community volunteers, and a media and community education coordinator to connect the community to the work through transparent communications efforts. And commissioners, I will advise you, we inadvertently left off that last position on the diagram we shared last week. So there are three support staff for the initiative director. As I mentioned, the Leadership Advisory Council is designed to serve both to approve expenditures from the St. Louis Community Foundation Fund, and also to designate the three steering committees that focus on justice for all, youth at the center, and the opportunity to thrive. These steering committees will have the support of staff, the ARC researchers, and consulting support as needed. They'll call for the formation of action teams, and this is a process I look forward to describing in the two example calls to action. Finally, you'll see the entire effort is encircled within that third-party evaluator that you heard Bethany mention earlier. They'll assess the work and capture successes and failures. And FOCUS is committed to the intentional and comprehensive documentation of this work, and that comes from our commitment to produce an authentic blueprint for other communities that may want to pursue such an effort in the future.
So let's talk about the budget for a minute. You know, when we first started this project, we had somewhat of a realistic budget. But in reading the RFQ, we thought, okay, let's see how this can work, and was glad to receive the feedback that we could proceed with expanding the budget. And so what we're proposing is about a $1.4 million budget for the first 18 months of this work. And what we did in really developing this budget is taking a look at similar comparable initiatives that have been done across the nation to look at their budget. And so we looked at DC Promise Neighborhood Initiative, which had a budget of $1.97 million. We took a look at, even more locally, what the budget was for the One SDL project that we had a number of other collaborators in the community, and that budget was about $4 million over the course of five years. And we also understand that this type of work is going to be business unusual. And in so doing, realize that we're going to be very aggressive in our fundraising efforts because it'll involve large-scale fundraising, and it will also... What we're finding is that we need to certainly think outside of the box in terms of looking at innovative investments. And FOCUS is committed to fundraising outside of its normal partnerships that support our civic engagement and leadership training work. One of the things that we've also realized when it comes to the budget has to do with the fact that we're going to need to be able to achieve new funding streams and starting to explore national funders, and these are conversations that we've already started. We also know that we're going to seek to find basically fundraising champions, and we've already started those conversations as they are right now. Local funders, we're already talking to them as well, and we know that we're going to look at entrepreneurial ways of funding, which will allow us for flexibility as we move this work forward. So I need to emphasize the fact that FOCUS is certainly committed to transparency as the core intermediary, and that's why we're utilizing the St. Louis Community Foundation to set up a designated fund for this initiative. And I'd like to invite Amelia Bond, President and CEO of the St. Louis Community Foundation, to share more about the fund.
Thank you, Amy. Well, good evening. My name is Amelia Bond, and I serve as the President and CEO of the St. Louis Community Foundation. It's an honor to be here this evening to speak to you. My goal here is this evening to outline the role our community foundations play in their own communities across the country, and to describe to you how the St. Louis Community Foundation's mission and vision for St. Louis and our future align closely with that of the Ferguson Commission. I would like to begin by quoting from our original organizing documents, which were created nearly a century ago, actually, to be exact, a century ago, for what ultimately became the St. Louis Community Foundation. The St. Louis Community Trust is a long look ahead for the betterment of the mental, moral, social, and physical needs of the people who now and may hereafter reside within St. Louis. That's a quote from those originating documents. These words continue to describe and guide our actions at the St. Louis Community Foundation today. So, where are we today? The St. Louis Community Foundation serves over 500 donors and community-based charitable funds, totaling $320 million in assets. Since 1990, we have made more than 30,000 grants, totaling over $300 million in grant making. Since 2010, we have doubled our asset base and our annual grant making. That makes us the fourth largest foundation in the St. Louis region. We are proud to be closing in on the top 5% of the nearly 780 community foundations nationwide, measured by asset size. In 2014, we also earned accreditation from the National Standards of U.S. Community Foundations, which means our community foundation meets the highest standard for philanthropic excellence. Our cost structure is highly efficient. There are economies of scale achieved with the aggregating of long-term perpetual giving funds. You see, roughly 50% of our donors are deceased. They had the foresight and the desire to leave a personal legacy and a personal impact on our community in the years and decades after they were gone. As a result, they left in our care years ago designated funds, field of interest funds, and scholarships that we work to support, and their work supports our community and those giving in St. Louis today. That said, I want to be very clear and transparent. The St. Louis Community Foundation is not a fundraiser. Instead, we support the work of each and every fund, along with its advisors and committees, and that have been established to oversee and make distribution recommendations to the Community Foundation. Consisting with our founding documents, and like other communities across this country, we are a civic resource that can provide the platform and the infrastructure to bring the community together and to address issues of concern and seize opportunities for the good of the St. Louis region now and the years ahead. In 2014, the events in Ferguson and the subsequent report released by this commission awoke our community to our region's extreme failings to be intentional about racial equity. As important, Ferguson starkly reminded all of us of the social and economic losses that our region experiences as a result of racial inequities. This proposed fund, as recommended by the Ferguson Commission and to be explored by the core intermediary, is a fund for our community. Since our revitalization in the mid-1980s, the St. Louis Community Foundation has been preparing, evolving, and strengthening its infrastructure specifically for this moment. Holding charitable funds is what we do each and every day. Please know that the St. Louis Community Foundation is committed to evolving and changing to meet the needs and the demands of the entire St. Louis community. Our legacy is your legacy. On behalf of the St. Louis Community Foundation, I thank you again for the opportunity to speak to you this evening. I am happy to answer any questions you may have now or at the end of the Focus St. Louis presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll do questions at the end once we've finished. Yes, thank you.
So we are incredibly grateful to the community.
Could you raise the mic just a little?
I can. Thank you. Do we have a height difference here? There we go. We're incredibly grateful to the Community Foundation for offering that service, and certainly the mention there of being flexible brings us into a defining characteristic of our approach. So we know, as the commission has highlighted, in fact, Co-Chairman McClure mentioned it again this evening, this hasn't been done before. So moving the report into action is really new territory. So we are fully aware that activities must be flexible. We're going to have to adjust to changing observations, information, and outcomes as we move forward. We know there will be great successes, both in the short, mid, and long range, and there are going to be failures. We acknowledge that failures are a path to learning and we'll treat them as such. We'll share these failures publicly through open communication so that the public can help us identify solutions. We're committed to failing forward. This means adapting mistakes and determining new paths quickly and efficiently. We will embrace innovation and look forward to finding answers along the way. And as I mentioned before, we have a firm commitment to capturing, learning, and sharing it broadly for other communities' future use. As I mentioned before, and as you've heard, the Applied Research Collaborative, or ARC, will be instrumental in helping us track our success. ARC includes 5 local universities and will work within all levels of the initiative, including determining baseline activity through community assessment of current services and related efforts, mobilized policy campaigns that are in process, and existing resources. ARC will identify what to measure and how to define wins and losses, and they'll support project work of action teams. This is that internal evaluation service that you heard Bethany mention. St. Louis Community Foundation and ARC are really only 2 of our collaborating partners, so I'm going to invite Amy to join me and discuss a little bit more about how we've engaged a variety of partners.
So many of you may have heard this quote. I believe it's often attributed to Chris Cray-Meyer, who I fondly refer to as Chris Cray-Cray. But he talks about the fact that community building happens at the speed of trust. And when we started to put together this RFQ, we knew that we could not do it alone. We know that we've had successes convening a significant number of individuals and organizations across sectors. And so what we did was we first of all looked at, revisited the Forward Through Ferguson report and started to identify all the responsible parties that had been identified in the report. And we started to call. We picked up the phone. We sent emails. And I have to say, I was very much, my heart was warmed to know that our community believed strongly in not just focus stepping forward, but them stepping forward with us. And I look around the room this evening and I see many of those individuals that have committed to this partnership of moving this work forward with us. I believe I see Mr. Ron Jackson in the room from the Black Leadership Table. I see Karen Arosti from ADL. I see Diversity Awareness Partnership. I see United Way also represented in the room. And this is just a small sample of close to 50 organizations and individuals that have stepped forward that said, we raise our hand. We will move forward with you should you be selected as the core intermediary. But we're also very committed to making sure that every individual, every organization that needs to be at that table is at that table. And based on the feedback that we got from the external review committee, we knew that our work was not done. And I'd like for Michelle to talk a little bit more about how we took it one step further to make sure that we had a very inclusive and diverse table.
So in that week since we received our official feedback and some true weaknesses were really brought to light in that, and we thank the review committee for that. We have identified and we do understand there are some gaps in those that are at the table right now. So we maintain a commitment to keeping seats open and have particularly started outreach as it relates to the grassroots community. So again, we've reached out to partners such as Jobs with Justice, folks that are here tonight, Metropolitan Congregations United. We were able to meet today with Missourians Organizing for Reform and Empowerment, so key grassroots leaders. And what I can say is we have a beginning. So far, these organizations have expressed interest, of course, in forwarding the efforts of implementation and are interested in hearing and working with us to ensure the community is genuinely heard and represented in the process. So again, these are early conversations, and we know that it is critical that community members are engaged in this action. Another area where we are expanding very intentionally is to engage youth. While we operate Youth Leadership St. Louis and the Emerging Leaders Program, we know that that's really a small window into the thoughts and aspirations of younger community members. The success of this initiative most definitely relies on its ability to carry forward into the next generation. And so we will not only engage youth-serving organizations as we move forward. I think even Boys and Girls Club just committed today But we're also holding seats at the table for individuals who are younger in our community to join us and be part of positive change in our community. So moral of the story is we are very aware that while we have a strong baseline of relationships in the St. Louis community, there are critical individuals and organizations that we aren't aware of yet, we haven't had the chance to meet yet, and we are definitely looking forward to welcoming you and having conversation. We welcome recommendations from both the commission and the public here tonight. We know we have a lot of work and growth that we can do in that area.
So now I want to talk a little bit about Focus's expertise. We certainly have designed a plan to act upon the signature priorities and calls to action, and Focus will provide the structure for this to be possible. And we know that the core intermediary must certainly operate within an understanding of civic engagement, policy change, community partnerships, and a history of achieving similar objectives. And to that end, Focus has been an impartial community convener around such subjects of affirmative action, racial equity, diversity and inclusion, workforce development, and urban development. Additionally, if you look at the broad spectrum of the programs that we have, we've been able to build and maintain relationships with a diverse and broad network of partners with relationships representing all sectors of our community. Additionally, we've been able to create and operate the bridges across racial polarization. I'm looking across the room tonight, and I see some of the members from our Bridges group represented here tonight. We've also been able to prepare leaders at all levels of the community for success, including neighborhood and faith community leaders, and these graduates create an alumni network of more than 8,500 people, many of who are educated about and engaged in civic issues. We were also there at the table in designing and operating the Diversity Leadership Fellowship and also helping our civic partners launch the St. Louis Business Diversity Initiative. Furthermore, we analyze and drive policy change, including the Missouri Charter School System, Affirmative Action in Missouri, and through our work and collaboration on One STL. We also serve as a frequent partner in community initiatives and coalitions in our region. So now, as I indicated before, we will like to walk you through examples of two calls to action. So I'll ask Michelle to join us to walk us through one of those examples.
And out of respect for time, I will walk through the first example, and if the commission or the public would like me to walk through that second example, I'll do it during the Q&A period. So walking through Universal Child Development Accounts, CDAs, as an example of a call to action. So the Leadership Advisory Council, you heard me mention before, again, those 15 individuals from the community, would work to design a process by which three steering committees are developed. The steering committees then would be named, and of course, this particular call to action would live with the Opportunity to Thrive steering committee. We do know that those individuals selected to serve in the steering committee would be drawn from the remarkable research that's already been started by the commission, as well as growing information that is happening during the baseline assessment that our partners at ARC, as well as Focus, new staff, and our external evaluator would be part of, again, assessing that current landscape to identify and define what's already occurring. And important, I think, in addition to that baseline assessment are the development of asset maps so we can see where resources are and where there are gaps. So if the steering committee, Opportunity to Thrive, were to identify that child development accounts were an action item that were strategically positioned, to move forward as they may very likely identify, given the amount of work occurring on this particular call to action already, an action team would be formed. For CDAs, this group might include the leaders of existing CDA programs, staff from the Missouri State Treasurer's Office, representatives from Vanguard, a member of the Missouri Higher Education Savings Program, community members, etc. The steering committee would define specific tasks, deadlines, roles, and expectations for that action team. So again, for this example, the steering committee might include expansion of CDAs into specific zip codes by a specific date. The action team would then determine the process and resources needed to support that expansion. At this point, the steering committee, along with initiative staff, would work to hold the action teams accountable for activities and timeline. They would work in partnership with the initiative director. The initiative director is who those of us in the public would hear from. So they would that person would communicate progress as well as achievement of the calls to action via public forums, either semi-annual public meeting, quarterly reporting, or very likely, as we grow and learn with the process, more frequent online reporting as the commission experienced. Throughout this, you've seen a purple evaluation, learning, and course correction bar. So again, our evaluation partners and researchers at ARC will assist in providing specific measurements to determine if goals are being met and if course correction is needed. So in this example, if CDAs did not expand in the time specified, evaluation partners would help the initiative director and the steering committee assess what's blocking progress, what corrective action is needed, what adjustments are needed, and then define a new goal with outcomes. That new strategy with new tasks would be set forth. As the group achieves success and we have universal CDA access, that action team would disassemble to support other actions, or it could transition into a role that supports that long-term sustainability of the CDA model. So as I said, we also developed a comprehensive demonstration response plan, which would be an action that lives in the Justice for All Steering Committee, and I'd be happy to discuss it during the Q&A.
Well, I tell you, Michelle, we've got just a little extra time. Why don't you go ahead and go through the second one now, please, so we have that information.
Happy to do it. So if the Justice for All Steering Committee were to determine that the call to action to develop a comprehensive demonstration response plan was needed to quickly begin affecting the change of policing practices, again, as the review committee identified, it's a reasonable thought that that would be one of the actions identified to move quickly. An action team would be formed. In this case, and bear with me, it's a list. In this case, that might include the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Chief, Sam Dodson, St. Louis County Police Chief Belmar, members of the St. Louis County Board of Police Commissioners, Municipal Police Department leadership, Missouri Highway State Patrol, the Missouri Sheriff's Association, current media personnel, American Friends Service Committee, NCJJ, the National Conference for Community and Justice, the Diversity Awareness Partnership, Coalition Against Police Brutality, Organization for Black Struggle, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, and of course, community residents. Now that's a big action team. So in this instance, it's where we truly believe the creative approach is going to be critical to make sure that we're gaining the input and holding the action team members accountable. So in this case, the steering committee might call for the initiative director and for staff to use surveys, phone interviews, hold large public events, and use other methods to make sure that they're hearing from all the relevant parties in that implementation. So again, you'll see a similar slide where the steering committee is engaging with initiative staff to hold the action team accountable. So the steering committee and action team would be asked to approach these calls to action with an open mind and innovative ideas. So we wanted to highlight in this example that the action team would be encouraged to look at current law and protocol before it made a final recommendation for methods for change. So since police are not supposed to arrest media who are not interfering with police activity, the question might be asked, are the police trained to understand the law? What's the punishment if an officer violates that law or protocol? What recommendations can be made to strengthen proper police response? And how can we ensure that media are aware of their rights as legal observers? So again, with that creative approach, the initiative director would be responsible for communicating to the public as well as up to the Leadership Advisory Council how that achievement is moving on that call to action. And then again, when that team succeeds, we mark success, celebrate it, and that team and those volunteers transition to support other actions, or again, if there's a long-term need to support and sustain that success, there would be the opportunity for them to do that as well.